What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works, but we need your stories first. Go to nightmareneighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll free. 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY, and share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us or call 888-68-CRAZY and be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. A mysterious man that on the surface seemed to be close friends with many of the world's biggest figures. But where did this mysterious man come from? Where did he get all of his money and influence? And why was he using it the way he was? Today, we dive into a two-part episode series surrounding the story of Jeffrey Epstein.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Jeffrey Edward Epstein was an American financier and sex offender. He began his professional life as a teacher, but then switched to banking and finance sector in various roles, working at Bear Stearns before forming his own firm. He developed an elite social circle and procured many women, including underage girls, who were then sexually abused by Epstein and some of his contacts. In 2005, police in Palm Beach, Florida, began investigating Epstein after a parent complained that he had sexually abused her 14-year-old daughter. Epstein pled guilty and was convicted in 2008 by a Florida state court of procuring an underage girl for prostitution and of soliciting a prostitute. He served almost 13 months in custody, but with extensive work release, he was convicted of only two crimes. As part of a plea deal, federal officials had identified 36 girls, some as young as 14 years old, whom Epstein had allegedly sexually abused. Epstein was arrested again on July 6, 2019 on federal charges for the sex trafficking of minors in Florida and New York. He died in his jail cell on August 10, 2019. The medical examiner ruled the death a suicide, although Epstein's lawyers have disputed the ruling along with a huge public skepticism about the true cause of his death. Since his death eliminated the possibility of pursuing criminal charges, a judge dismissed all criminal charges on August 29, 2019. Epstein had a decades-long association with Ghislaine Maxwell, who had faced persistent allegations of procuring and sexually trafficking underage girls for Epstein. Epstein also maintained a years-long friendship with Prince Andrew, Duke of York, who resigned from royal duties over his ties to Epstein. So this, my friends, should be an interesting episode. If you've been watching any of this stuff over the course of the last couple of years, It's like a car wreck that you kind of can't turn away from. I mean, it's just, I don't know, with like a unsolved mysteries twist. It's so bizarre and weird, and the people involved, it's got everything. Tony and Carol Hughes, by the way, joining you for today's episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia. What are your thoughts?
Well, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I have read quite a bit about him.
Yeah.
And haven't watched the entire Netflix special on him, but I've watched a couple.
It's good.
Of the episodes. And the thing is that what all of the women are saying, these are women who don't even know each other.
Yeah.
It's very, 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 very similar.
Yeah.
And so I have a hard time not believing them because they have nothing to gain.
Yeah.
At this point in their lives. I've had nothing to gain by, you know, the last thing I would want anybody to know is I had done something like that.
Sure.
But it was very traumatizing for all of them.
Yeah.
And so I have a bit of a bias. I'll just say that.
Sure.
Going to it. Son of a bitch. Okay. Just don't get that out.
Anytime you feel the spirit move you, just go ahead and say it.
It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Because it's like people like that. Who have a lot of money,
yeah.
Who can manipulate a lot of people, including yeah. rich people. I mean, because I don't know exactly where he got all his money, yeah. and I don't know if that's ever really been figured out.
Yeah, it's one of those crazy things.
But, so he had a lot of influence with a lot of other extremely rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, I don't know about Prince Andrew and everything like that, but
yeah.
I think that there are people who are very rich and powerful, who don't think rules apply.
Yeah.
And that you can victimize a teenage girl and there's no harm.
Yeah.
And there's harm. And so, yeah.
And I think he was doing it with very powerful people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this whole story, and we're going to talk in depth about it chapter by chapter, is why it's a two-part episode, because it's so crazy long. But it's interesting. We'll just kind of touch on this as we kind of give our intro on it. There's a lot of theories, and I think it may touch on this in the Wikipedia, I'm not sure. But there's a lot of theories that this guy may have been a spy for somebody, and that's where he was getting all of these very famous political leaders and things like that on camera. He had cameras all over his house, every room, every place. And it was kind of like a, I gotcha type thing. And there's a lot of theories about that. I mean, obviously it's all wrong and horrible, but that I just, you want to find out, well, where the hell does this root then to, if he was working for somebody to get people into these, you know, compromising positions.
But like the Netflix special,
yeah,
he's got that woman who I don't know if she yeah. really was his girlfriend or any.
Well, they dated for several months, and then they became, he described her in an interview as best friends for like yeah. a majority of their relationship.
But she also seemed to like recruit
yeah.
women, or not women,
yeah.
girls.
And she'd get involved in like their activities too.
So he had his own perversions going on.
Yeah.
before he even got into what, and who knows? I mean, I guess joke's on him. He ended up dead, and nobody ended up going under but him.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one in prison for it.
I think it was on the cusp of a lot of big name people being.
Did he kill himself? I don't know. No. And I think that's the kind of stuff you'll never know.
That's the scary thing. I think he had so much information that would have changed. You know how we thought it was a big deal? It was a big deal when all the allegations started coming out about Bill Cosby, and then he like went to jail. And it was like, oh my God, America's dad. I think had Epstein lived and gone to trial and he got squeezed for the information, finally, I think he would have had that times like 50. And it would have been dotting the entertainment world to the political world to the religious world to you name it. It would have been all these fucking people that, you know... I've only been on his plane, you know, 26 times. It's like, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, like, I don't think I've been on a plane 20, you know. It's like, I get your, you know, but yeah, it's just like, holy shit. So, I mean, I don't buy that it was a suicide. I think it was, he got whacked. But we can dive into the whole story as we continue on here. And we dive into the next chapter of the life of Jeffrey Epstein on the dark side of Wikipedia. Epstein was born in 1953 in New York City in the borough of Brooklyn to Jewish parents, Pauline and Seymour G. Epstein. His parents were married in 1952, shortly before his birth. Pauline worked as a school aide and was a homemaker. Seymour Epstein worked for the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation as a groundskeeper and gardener. Jeffrey Epstein was the older of two siblings. Epstein and his brother Mark grew up in the working-class neighborhood of Seagate, Coney Island, Brooklyn. Epstein attended local public schools, first public school 188, and then Mark Twain Junior High School nearby. In 1967, Epstein attended the National Music Camp at the Interlochting Center for the Arts. He began playing the piano when he was five. He graduated in 1969 from Lafayette High School at the age of 16, having skipped two grades. Later that year, he attended classes at Cooper Union until he changed colleges in 1971. From September 1971, he attended the current Institute of Mathematical Sciences at New York University, but left without receiving a degree in June of 1974. Epstein started working in September of 1974 as a physics and mathematics teacher for teens at the Dalton School on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He was hired by Donald Barr, who was the headmaster until June of 1974. Epstein taught at the exclusive private school until he was dismissed in June 1976 for poor performance. While teaching at the school, Epstein became acquainted with Alan Greenberg, the chief executive officer of Bear Stearns, whose son and daughter were going to the school. Greenberg's daughter, Lynn Koppel, pointed to a parent-teacher conference where Epstein influenced another Dalton parent into advocating for him to Greenberg. Greenberg offered him a job at Bear Stearns. Epstein joined Bear Stearns in 1976 as a lower-level junior assistant to a floor trader. He swiftly moved up to become an options trader, working in the special products division, and then advised the bank's wealthiest clients, such as Seagram president Edgar Boffman and tax mitigation strategies. Jimmy Kine, the bank's later chief executive officer, praised Epstein's skill in wealthy clients and complex products. In 1980, 4 years after joining Bear Stearns, Epstein became a limited partner. In 1981, he was asked to leave Bear Stearns for, according to his sworn testimony, being guilty of a Reg D violation. Even though Epstein departed abruptly, he remained close to Cayenne and Greenberg and was a client of Bear Stearns until it collapsed in 2008. In August 1981, Epstein founded his own consulting firm, Intercontinental Assets Group, Inc., which assisted clients in recovering stolen money from fraudulent brokers and lawyers. Epstein described his work at this time as being a high-level bounty hunter. He told friends that he worked sometimes as a consultant for governments and the very wealthy to recover embezzled funds, while at other times he worked for clients who had embezzled funds. Spanish actress and heiress Ana Obregón was one such wealthy client, whom Epstein helped in 1982 to recover her father's millions in lost investments, which had disappeared when Drysdale government securities collapsed because of fraud. Epstein also stated to some people at the time that he was an intelligence agent. During the 1980s, Epstein possessed an Australian passport that had his photo, but a false name. The passport showed his place of residence in Saudi Arabia. Investigative journalist Vicky Ward said she was told in 2017 by a former senior White House official that U.S. Florida District Attorney Alexander Acosta, who handled Epstein's criminal case in 2008, said to Trump transition interviews, "I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone, and that Epstein was above his pay grade." During this period, one of Epstein's clients was a Saudi Arabian businessman who was the middleman in transferring American weapons from Israel to Iran as part of the Iran-Contra affair in the 1980s. Khashoggi was one of several defense contractors that he knew. In the mid-1980s, Epstein traveled multiple times between the United States, Europe, and Southwest Asia. While in London, Epstein met Stephen Hoffenberg. They'd been introduced through Douglas Lessie, a defense contractor, and John Mitchell, a former U.S. Attorney General. Stephen Hoffenberg hired Epstein in 1987 as a consultant for Towers Financial Corporation, unaffiliated with the company of the same name, founded in 1998 and acquired by Old National Brand Corp in 2014, a collection agency that bought debts people owed to hospitals, banks, and phone companies. Hoffenberg set up Epstein in offices in the Villard Houses in Manhattan and paid him $25,000 per month for his consulting work, equivalent to $56,000 in 2019. Hoffenberg and Epstein then refashioned themselves as corporate raiders, using Towers Financial as their raiding vessel. One of Epstein's first assignments for Hoffenberg was to implement what turned out to be an unsuccessful bid to take over Pan American World Airways in 1987. A similar unsuccessful bid in 1988 was made to take over Emery Air Freight Corp. During this period, Hoffenberg and Epstein worked closely together and traveled everywhere in Hoffenberg's private jet. In 1993, Towers Financial Corporation imploded as one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in American history, losing its investors over $450 million. In court documents, Hoffenberg claimed that Epstein was intimately involved in the scheme. Epstein left the company in 1989 before it collapsed and was never charged for being involved with the massive investor fraud committed. It is unknown if Epstein acquired any stolen funds from the Towers Ponzi scheme. In 1988, while Epstein was still consulting for Hoffenberg, he founded his own financial management firm, J. Epstein & Company. The company was said by Epstein to have been formed to manage the assets of clients with more than $1 billion in net worth, although others have expressed skepticism that he was this restrictive to the clients he took. The only publicly known billionaire client of Epstein was Leslie Wexner, chairman and CEO of L Brands, formerly The Limited, and Victoria's Secret. In 1986, Epstein met Wexner through their mutual acquaintances, insurance executive Robert Meister and his wife at a Palm Beach, Florida area. A year later, Epstein became Wexner's financial advisor and served as his right-hand man. Within the year, Epstein had sorted out Wexner's entangled finances, and in July of 91, Wexner granted Epstein full power of attorney over his affairs. The power of attorney allowed Epstein to hire people, sign checks, buy and sell properties, borrow money, and do anything else of legally binding nature on Wexner's behalf. By 1995, Epstein was a director of the Wexner Foundation and Wexner Heritage Foundation. He was also the president of Wexner's Property, which developed part of the town of New Albany outside of Columbus, Ohio, where Wexner lived. Epstein made millions in fees by managing Wexner's financial affairs. Although never employed by L Brands, he corresponded frequently with company executives. Epstein often attended Victoria's Secret fashion shows and hosted the models at his New York City home, as well as helping aspiring models get work with the company. In 1996, Epstein changed the name of his firm to the Financial Trust Company, and for tax advantages, based it on the island of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. By relocating to the U.S. Virgin Islands, Epstein was able to reduce federal income taxes by 90%. The U.S. Virgin Islands acted as an offshore tax haven, while at the same time offering the advantages of being part of the United States banking system. So So let's pause there and kind of dive into what we've learned thus far about the activities of Mr. Epstein. And this is, you know, well, it gets a little, you know, into the territory, I think, that we start finding him going down, but with the Victoria's Secret introduction. But for the most part, you know, it seems like a very, very, you know, financially smart individual in terms of how to work numbers and odds and how things can be done. You know, and then wondering how is this all going to play into the darker personality.
I do think he was smart.
Yeah, he's probably like a genius, I think, in some ways.
But, like, in later in life, like, he takes credit for things he had nothing to do with, thinking he's really smart.
Sure.
But I do think he was smart in some respects, but he was also smart in that really shady kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been the genesis of where he got his money, was that whole Ponzi scheme thing that he probably did. That might have been where he started getting a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know, because he could have legit earned it.
Sure.
But I think he kind of lied his way into a couple things, too, along the way.
Yeah.
So he's smart in that kind of cunning, shady way.
Yeah, where it's like you could go one way or the other down the road. Like, you have these insights and you have these smarts that only certain people have, and they're very beneficial, and they can be used for great good and can also benefit you, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of patience to get there. But because you have those abilities, it will work. Or you can go super speed and jump into the warp speed tunnel. And if you do it in kind of a shady way, you can get there too, and it too will work, but there's a little more risk involved.
But sometimes, you know, the higher risk, like if you get with somebody who's, you're traveling around on his private plane and the guy's in charge of this massive Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
you probably made some money off of that.
Yeah.
And he got away with that.
Yeah, for a very, very long period of time.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy story. Let's let's continue down the nice shadowy rainbow road here of Jeffrey Epstein. In 2003, Epstein bid to acquire New York Magazine. Other bidders included advertising executive Donnie Deutsch, investor Nelson Peltz, media mogul and New York Daily News publisher Mortimer Zuckerman, and film producer Harvey Weinstein. The ultimate buyer was Bruce Wasserstein, a longtime Wall Street investment banker who paid $55 million. In 2004, Epstein and Zuckerman committed up to $25 million to finance Radar, a celebrity and pop culture magazine founded by Mayor Roshan. Epstein and Zuckerman were equal partners in the venture. Roshan and its editor-in-chief retained a small ownership stake. It folded after three issues. Epstein was the president of the company Liquid Funding Limited between 2000 and 2007. The company was an early pioneer in expanding the kind of debt that could be accepted or accepted on repurchase or the repo market, which involves a lender giving money to a borrower in exchange for securities that the borrower then agrees to buy back at an agreed upon later time and price. The innovation of liquid funding and other early companies was that instead of having stocks and bonds as the underlying securities, it had commercial mortgages and investment-grade residential mortgages bundled into complex securities as the underlying security. Liquid funding was initially 40% owned by Bear Stearns. Through the help and the credit rating agencies Standard & Poor's, Fitch Ratings, and Moody's Investor Services, the new bundled securities were able to be created for companies, so they got a gold-plated AAA rating. The implosion of such complex securities because of their inaccurate ratings led to the collapse of Bear Stearns in March of 2008 and set in motion the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008 and the subsequent Great Recession. If liquid funding was loft holding large amounts of such securities as collateral, it could have lost large amounts of money. Epstein installed concealed cameras in numerous places on his properties to allegedly record sexual activity with underage girls by prominent people for criminal purposes, such as blackmail. Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's close companion, told a friend that Epstein's private island in the Virgin Islands was completely wired for video, and that the friend believed that Maxwell and Epstein were videotaping everyone on the island as an insurance policy. When police raided his Palm Beach residence in 2006, two hidden pinhole cameras were discovered in his home. It was also reported that Epstein's mansion in New York was wired extensively with video surveillance systems. Maria Farmer, an artist who worked for Epstein in 1996, noted that Epstein showed her the media room in the New York mansion, there where individuals monitoring the pinhole cameras throughout the house. The media room was accessed through a hidden door. She stated that in the media room, there were men sitting there and looked at the cameras. They saw a toilet, toilet, bed, bed, toilet, bed. She added that it was very obvious they were like monitoring private moments. Epstein allegedly lent girls to powerful people to integrate himself with them and also to gain possible blackmail information. According to the Department of Justice, he kept compact discs locked in his safe in his New York mansion with handwritten labels that included the description, young female name plus name. Epstein partially confirmed that he had blackmail material when he told a New York Times reporter in 2018, off the record, that he had dirt on powerful people, including information about their sexual proclivities and recreational drug use. In March of 2005, a woman contacted Florida's Palm Beach Police Department, alleging that her 14-year-old stepdaughter had been taken to Epstein's mansion by an older girl. There, she was allegedly paid $300 to strip and massage Epstein. She had allegedly undressed but left the encounter wearing her underwear. Palm Beach police began a 13-month undercover investigation of Epstein, including a search of his home. During the investigation, Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Reiter publicly accused a Palm Beach County State Prosecutor Barry Kirshner of being too lenient and called for help from the FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigation also became involved. Subsequently, the police alleged that Epstein had paid several girls to perform sexual acts with him. Interviews with five alleged victims and 17 witnesses under oath, a high school transcript, and other items found in Epstein's trash and home allegedly showed that some of the girls involved were under 18, the youngest being 14, with many under 16. The police searched of Epstein's home found two hidden cameras and large numbers of photos of girls throughout the house, some of whom the police had interviewed in the course of their investigation. Adriana Ross, a former model and from Poland who became an Epstein assistant, reportedly removed computer drives and other electric equipment from the financier's Florida mansion before Palm Beach police searched the home as part of their investigation. The court documents record that a search of Epstein's residence by Palm Beach Police Detective Joseph Ricari in 2005 uncovered an incriminating Amazon receipt for books on sex slavery. The books he ordered are titled SM-101, A Realistic Introduction, Slavecraft, Roadmap for Erotic Servitude Principles, Skills and Tools, and Training with Miss Elbethurney, a workbook for erotic slaves and their owners. A former employee told the police that Epstein would receive massages three times a day. Eventually, the FBI compiled reports on 34 confirmed minors eligible for restitution. Those whose allegations of sexual abuse by Epstein included corroborating details. Julie Brown's 2018 expose in the Miami Herald identified about 80 victims and located about 60 of them. She quotes the then police chief, Michael Reiter, "This was 50-something she's and one he." And the she's all basically told the same story. Details from the investigation included allegations that 12-year-old triplets were flown in from France for Epstein's birthday and flown back the following day after being sexually abused by the financier. It was alleged that young girls were recruited from Brazil and other South American countries, from former Soviet countries and Europe, and that Jean-Luc Brunel's MC2 modeling agency was also supplying girls to Epstein. In May of 2006, Palm Beach police filed a probable cause affidavit stating that Epstein should be charged with four counts of unlawful sex with minors and one count of sexual abuse. Epstein's defense lawyers included Roy Black, Gerald Lefcourt, Harv Law, Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz and former U.S. Solicitor General Ken Starr. Instead, Kirshner convened a Palm Beach grand jury, which was usually only done in capital cases, presented evidence from only two victims. The grand jury returned a single charge of felony solicitation of prostitution, to which Epstein pled not guilty in August of 2006. In July of 2006, the FBI began its own investigation of Epstein, nicknamed Operation Leap Year. It resulted in a 53-page indictment in June of 2007. Alexander Acosta, then the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida, agreed to a plea deal, which Alan Dershowitz helped to negotiate, to grant immunity from all federal criminal charges to Epstein, along with four named co-conspirators and any unnamed potential co-conspirators. According to the Miami Herald, the non-prosecution agreement essentially shut down an ongoing FBI probe into whether there were more victims and other powerful people who took part in Epstein's sex crimes. At the time, this halted the investigation and sealed the indictment. The Miami Herald said Acosta agreed, despite a federal law to the contrary, that the deal would be kept from the victims. Acosta later said he offered a lenient plea deal because he was told that Epstein belonged to intelligence and was above his pay grade, and to leave it alone. Epstein agreed to plead guilty in Florida state court to two felony prostitution charges, register as a sex offender, and pay restitution to three dozen victims identified by the FBI. The plea deal was later described as a sweetheart deal. A federal judge later found that the prosecutors had violated the victims' rights in that they had concealed the agreement from the victims and instead urged them to have patience. So he finally gets some charges brought against him. But
yeah, but what I'm pissed off about
yeah.
is that all those girls are victimized again.
Yes, completely.
By the system.
Yep.
And the rich guy basically gets a slap on the hands. You know, it's like he's not. I mean, he didn't serve any prison time or anything like that. Because he's got money.
And that's what's interesting to me about some of these things. And, you know, there's always been shady things that go on. It's just that I guess I'm surprised. I don't know why I should be, but I guess sometimes I'm surprised at how many people are complicit in allowing him to just kind of get away with things. And why are they doing
money.
It?
And-
Yeah,
it's amazing what people will do when they're connected with to someone with that kind of money.
Yeah.
Because that's like a lot of money.
It's just such
like a lot that we can't even wrap our brains around that.
I know.
And the show I was watching, like these girls, there's Palm Beach and West Palm Beach. So they're like West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have tons of money. Their families don't have tons of money. So they pick the right girls who will do stuff like, hey, you want to make $200? And they're like, yeah, because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
And so then they pull up and it's his mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, I mean, it's like, you know, it just boggles my mind. And so people like that get away with it.
Yeah. Well, what,
because they have so much money.
What boggles my mind, and people like that with that much money, when they're the guest on the island, you know, I guess I'm waiting to hear maybe no one wants to share the story or something. I don't know. But I'm waiting to hear the story of, you know, certain rich person doesn't really know Jeffrey all that well, but, is invited to the island with a couple other people. And then it's like, what the fuck? And then I got the fuck out of there and... You know, I don't know. I'm waiting for those stories.
My guess is he probably picked the people pretty selectively.
Yeah, like they already knew that what was going to be going on before they got there.
So the fact that, you know, they're probably feeling comfortable because it's like Jeffrey's in the other room with a 14-year-old or however old. So not realizing that what they're doing is also illegal and can be used against them.
I am not educated very well in the world of human trafficking. I really haven't educated myself on it. I haven't watched a lot of documentaries on it. I know it exists and it's a big problem. I don't know the ins and the outs to quote any sort of statistics or anything. But when it comes to stuff like this, I guess kind of what I'm getting to is when you have that world of that ultra rich, is it such a environment where having people essentially like enslaved is such a normal thing, and they're just like operating by their own rules, that when they went to Jeffrey's Island or wherever he was at, and he had like these kind of somewhat sexually enslaved girls or just full on sexually enslaved girls there, it was just like, oh, that's, you know, that's normal. You should see what my friend so-and-so has over on his island. You know, like, is it just like kind of this norm in this weird, bizarro world of some of these people?
It could be. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, and I think that money will buy anything.
Yeah.
So if you're into teenage girls, the right amount of money, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's just what bothers me so bad.
Yeah.
Because even in what you've read so far, it really doesn't talk about how these girls were victimized.
We're getting there. No, I mean, it's
because I mean, they were really victimized.
Sure.
And they're innocent. And you know, these are girls that their families don't have tons of money. Or there was one girl who was the artist.
Yeah.
And like, they really manipulated her. Like, we're going to ruin your career.
Sure.
And, you know, she sold paintings for a lot of money. And they're like, nah, you're not going to sell that painting to that person.
You're going to sell it to this guy.
Painting too. Yeah. You know?
For half the price.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so these people were victimized. Then here you are, like, you're not, you know, you're getting paid quite a bit of money to do something you're very uncomfortable doing.
Yeah.
Then you feel that guilt. Then you don't want to tell anybody. Then they come back and they use that against you.
Well,
it's a cycle, and that's what happens with women who are trafficked.
Sure.
And boys too.
I mean, with this, I mean, they went to very vulnerable people in very vulnerable states.
Exactly.
And these were teenage girls in these states, you know, that are, take all
and you're
the
promising them college education.
Yeah. And they're not going to get it in where they're
jets.
Yeah. Where they're sitting. They're not going to get any of that. Suddenly they're like among these like rich and famous people and have all of these, you know, all this stuff. But then you do have to do this. And they almost kind of brainwash some of these girls into thinking this is okay. This is some weird, twisted family, but hey, it's still better than what you came from. And you feel horrible for these girls, and they look back on it. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a twisted fucking world that this guy created.
I was senior in high school. So I was 17, and I met this girl who I really liked, and she was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like the coolest girl in school. And like, she had her own trailer. And like, so she didn't even live with her parents while we were in our senior year. She had her own place. And she had a really nice car, and she had really nice clothes. And so I just had moved to this town my senior year, and I'm like, oh my God, she's so awesome, and she likes me. And I wanted to be like her. And so I thought maybe her parents were really rich. And then one day we were talking about it. She's like, no, like, I can introduce you to someone who can give you anything you want.
Oh, God.
That's all you have to do. And so she's like trying to get me to hook up with some old guy. And she's like, this guy she's sleeping with when she's a senior in high school, I bought her a car.
Wow.
Bought her fur coat. Which is really despicable to me now. I would never wear a fur coat because I'm vegetarian.
Sure.
But and I have been for a really long time. But at the time, like, that just showed wealth. And, like, all of these things. And I was like, absolutely not. And, I mean, I might have been a poor kid, and I was a very poor kid, but I couldn't do that.
Was it a well-known person or just a guy that had money?
I don't, he was old. And probably the funny thing, he's probably 40. But at the time, that's like, he is so old.
Yeah.
But He was just like, I remember seeing him someplace. I'm like, he was just gross.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, you have to sleep with that guy. Like, you're sleeping with that guy to get that stuff. And she had made it okay.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was watching that documentary, I remembered me.
Yeah.
And I was able to say, no, sure, I can't do that. But nobody was like, man, you don't even, I mean, she implied I'd have to have sex with somebody.
Sure.
But in that case, like, it was like, you're just giving him a massage and you get $200 or $300.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I would have done it.
Well, and that's how it always starts. That's how the story is. Like, it's just a massage. It's no big deal. Just a massage. And it's like, well, he's not wearing pants. Well, some people don't do that. That, you know, it's just part of the job. It's just a massage. Don't you? And then it goes into other shit.
Watching that the other night, I was like, that's what she had done to me.
Yeah.
So here's this girl I really looked up to, and she's like, you could do this too.
Yeah.
You could have all of the things I have.
Sure.
And your own trailer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. I thought it was awesome she had her own trailer. It was a single wide. But, but you know, at 17 to have your own trailer, that's kind of awesome.
Sure.
But I remembered that. And that's how easy it can happen.
Isn't it creepy weird when you look back on a moment after the fact, all those years later, and you realize, oh my God, I was kind of being preyed upon.
And I thought was amazing.
And I was oblivious to it at the moment, other than like, well, that was kind of weird, you know? And then,
same girl, one day she went and goes shopping at the mall. I go shopping with her. And so we're walking in the middle of the mall. I'm just having fun because I really like her and she's the coolest girl in school. And the cops come and grab us. And they're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And they pull me in the back and in like this secret place in the mall that I didn't know existed. And they're like, what did you take? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What did I take? Well, she had stolen a bunch of shit on our shopping trip. I didn't steal anything.
Yeah.
I had no idea she was shoplifting.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to arrest you. We're calling your mom right now. What's her phone number? And all this stuff. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you didn't do it.
Yeah. And I thought she was an amazing person.
Even after that?
That's how people, and I did not get arrested because they went through all my shit. Yeah. They realized I didn't have anything.
Sure.
They like my coat, my purse, they made me take off basically everything I was wearing. They felt me down.
Sure.
But that's how you get involved in that.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
It's a grooming thing and it starts so like innocent. And
it's a peer.
Yeah. One of the things I have, and it's weird. I look back on it and it's like, well, that's kind of creepy. Not kind of, it was creepy. We had, I think I might've shared this story on Real Ghost Stories at some point, but I was working in radio. I started in radio when I was 14. So I was like 14 or 15, somewhere around. I wasn't old enough to drive yet. So 16 was the driving age.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah. So I was around that age and we had, and I'd like always be at the radio station. I'd be there all the time working odd hours because that's all I wanted to do. And then we had this guy who came in at night and recorded the evening show, and he pre-recorded it and then left. But we always chatted for a little bit, and he seemed friendly. He didn't seem really that weird to me, quite honestly. He was involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and you know, he was another coworker. And he usually would wrap up his recording around the time that my dad would come and pick me up from work. And sometimes it would be like, he'd say, hey, you want to go to McDonald's or something? And I'll just drop you off at your house afterwards. I'm like, sure. And I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel anything weird about him. And I remember being at like McDonald's in like, we just ate in this truck and he started asking me about America Online and America Online. Remember when they used to give you those discs like here, 12, like 50 free hours or whatever. And the conversation went from, yeah, like they get them in the mail all the time because in the 90s, you got like one a week in the mail almost. And like, hey, you know, I tried it out is what this is him talking to me. And then he started talking to me about porn that he was finding on the internet.
Oh my God.
I'm about 14 or 15. This guy is probably about 34 or somewhere around there, I'm guessing. It's like, I'm 37 now, and I cannot contemplate talking to a 14 or 15 year old about anything like that. That just seems like, oh my God, what not to say? Like, that's right up at the top of the list. And I'm like a kid, so I don't know. I mean, other kids talk about this sort of shit. You know, in 1996 or whatever it was, like, internet porn was a new thing, everyone. At one point in time, it was like, oh, wow, what is this new magical thing? But that's what it was. It was newly invented. So it's things that kids were talking about at the time. And so I'm not thinking anything weird. And then that was it. Nothing weird happened beyond that. He did ask if I wanted to, you know, hang out sometime, like not at that day, but like in the future, like, hey, you want to get together and go throw the ball around? It's like bullshit stuff that guys say. And I was always like, no, I'm going to be working at the radio station. So I never did it. I never did anything with him or went to anything other than like the McDonald's. And then he drove me and dropped me off. But that's the only thing that ever happened. Anyway, here's where it gets weird, because I haven't gotten to that point. About 3 months later, we're sitting in the newsroom, me and a friend of mine who both knew this guy because we worked there, the Associated Press computer, when it had a brand new story at the time, it would just go to a black screen, and then the highlight, it was, you know, just very basic teletype, and it would have like the headline there, and you have to press space bar, and then you could go to the blue screen and read it. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So the headline there was, I'm not going to say the guy's name on the air, but, so-and-so's name, arrested, in X city, on child pornography charges or something of that nature.
No.
And so it turns out the story, and we had gone to Delilah at night. So he was out of a job like months ago. So thank God he wasn't on the air with us anymore. And nobody like really connected the dots, because he had a very, very generic name. So it was like, thank God this like never got connected to our station. The story that I heard at the time from the paper, and I don't know if there's anything deeper to it, was just that he was showing porn to the, he was showing porn to some of the kids involved in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. There was no allegations of him doing anything with them, like physically, but they were like watching it.
That's so wrong.
It's completely wrong. The only thing that could go through my mind when I read that story was, thank God it wasn't like he, at least it wasn't reported that he was like physically, you know, doing things with them. Like, it's still extremely wrong, but I was like, well, it could have been
the Big Brothers and Sisters. That's such a good organization and it's so needed.
Oh yeah.
And these are kids who need role models and people like that to sign up for a program like that.
I know.
There's a certain place in hell for that guy. That just pisses me off.
It's just that there's people out there that I think can be misread. And I don't know if Epstein is one of them, and that's how we got so many people.
I think so.
You know, his thumb. I mean, some of it, you look at that. I mean, after the fact, they're like, but after his first arrest and serving all the time, there was still like 10 years where like the rich and the famous still love to hang out with the guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, no.
I think there's a combination of both. I think there are people who absolutely knew, absolutely covered up for him. I think he got away with shit because he had a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's and then preyed on people who don't have a voice.
Yeah.
So
I guess like he's a comeback story in some ways, where after the first one and then 10 years or so of like freedom, and then obviously it all ends horribly, but it's like one of those fucked up stories. I mean, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people where you have that sort of thing, I guess, you know, where you got R. Kelly, who's, you know, still in the middle of part two of whatever the hell is going on. You know, Michael Jackson had the allegations, and then obviously he died. But, you know, there's, you know, it's like time after time, you know, what's going to stick. And so I don't know. That's where we're going to pause the episode for today. We got part two. I wonder if we're going to make it into a part three of this story, because it's we're on page 110 of 353. So we'll see. where we get with the Jeffrey Epstein story. Until next time, for the dark side of for Carol and for the dark side of Wikipedia, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch with Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 through 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.